It's good to be with you again. I hope you had a good day today. Let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah 24. Let's read these verses together. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs. The good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that they cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to the land, to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Now, the Lord gives a parable here of some good figs and some bad figs. And in these figs, we have an illustration for us of the only two kinds of people there are in this world. There are the children of God, who are represented here by the good figs. And there are the children of the devil, who are represented here by the bad figs. It's only two kinds of people in the world. There's those who are attempting to be saved by their works, rejecting Christ. These are represented by the bad figs. There are those who God just won't take no for an answer. Those he shall save. And he does all the saving, and they're represented here by the good figs. In amongst the good, you had Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, who had been the king of Judah, and he had many princes of Judah with the carpenters and the smiths, and Nebuchadnezzar carried them from Jerusalem down into Babylon. He carried them into captivity. And then you had, represented here by the bad figs, verse 8 says you had Zedekiah, who was now the king of Judah. He's still in Jerusalem. And you had his princes and the residue of Jerusalem. There remained some people still in Jerusalem. And then there was them that dwelled in the land of Egypt. Some of these people fled and went to Egypt. They left and went to Egypt for refuge. And you have these here represented by the bad figs. Now, these are the two kinds of people there are in the world. Just two kinds. Now, what makes these that God calls good? What makes them good? What makes them good? You see, in these people that we have listed here, really there's three groups of people listed here. And we see every kind of sinner there is in this world in these three groups. Now, there's only two kinds of people. But amongst those two kinds of people, we see three kinds of sinners here. First of all, there are those who are God's elect. But the problem here is these that represent God's elect, these ones that were good, they were carried away captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. And that's so of me and you who by nature fell in Adam, though we were chosen of God before the world was made, in time the devil entered the garden, and when he deceived Eve, Adam sinned with his eyes wide open and plunged us all into sin, and we became the captives of the devil, carried away into Babylon. You remember Ephesians chapter 2, whenever Paul said, "You that were sometimes dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened?" But what were we? We were just like everybody else. We were under the power of the prince of the air. We were children of wrath, even as others. We could do nothing to free ourselves from that captivity whatsoever. So that's one kind of sinner in the world. They're chosen of God, but they're still taken captive of the devil by nature. And then you have another kind of sinner in the world, which is somebody that Brother David read about in that psalm who are worldly sinners. They live for the world. Now, you may fall into more than one of these categories, you know, by nature. But here's somebody, you have these ones in Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar left there. They weren't carried away captive into Babylon, but they were captives. They were captives. He hadn't finished with them yet. Hey, this is just his first trip to Jerusalem. He's coming back two more times. When he gets done, he's going to destroy Solomon's temple. But right now, he's left them there. And do you know that this one here that he's talking about, Zedekiah, did you know that Nebuchadnezzar is the one who put him in the position of being a king? When he took Jeconiah, who was the king of Judah, and took him down into Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar picked out who he wanted to be the king of Judah, and he promoted Zedekiah and made him the king of Judah. The king of Babylon made the king of Judah. There's a lot of folks in this world who appear to be prospering and getting promotion after promotion, and just like that psalm that we just read, they just prosper. But God has permitted the devil to give them that promotion and to give them that prosperity. Don't you know those that were still in Jerusalem that weren't carried down into Babylon? Don't you know they looked down their nose at those folks that were carried off and they thought, boy, we're in a lot better shape than they are. They weren't. They were captives too. There's a lesson in that, you know. We ought not to look at people who appear to be the most captive in sin and then look at those who appear to be prospering and think, well, those that prosper, they're just better folks than those that are captive in sin. The ones here God's going to save were those that were carried captive into Babylon. And then you have a third type of people here. All these people are in captivity under the devil. I mean, a picture of being in captivity under the devil, because they're all captives of the king of Babylon. You have a third type of people here, those that were left in Jerusalem, and they decided when they saw opportunity, they took refuge in Egypt. They went to Egypt. And they picture people in this world who take refuge in religion. Go to Isaiah 30. Let me show you that. There's some people in the world that are worldly. They live for the world. They promote it in the world. And then there's other people who are take their refuge in religion. And that's what we see here in these that went to Egypt. It says in verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." They're picturing, he says later there in Isaiah 30, "Their strength was to wait on me," the Lord said. "Their strength was to return to me and wait on me and trust me." So this is a people, picture of people who left the Lord and went and took refuge, a false refuge, like folks in religion do. But you got this one group. It's God's elect. They're captive. It's obvious they're captive under the king of Babylon. Then you got these others that represent worldly sinners that are up in Jerusalem, and they're prospering and everything's going well for them. And then you got this third group that fled into Egypt, representing those taking refuge in sin. But all of them were under captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. He had them all captive. They were all his captives. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. It doesn't matter which one of these categories you fit into. By nature, our first sin problem is this: we're all captives of the devil. And then our second sin problem we see here is sin has separated us from holy God because of our guilt before the law. Now, you see these one group here that God calls the good figs that are carried down into Babylon. Well, Canaan, they're carried away from Canaan to the land of Chaldea, to the Chaldeans. They were there where the temple was, where the holiest of holy was, where the mercy seat was. They've been carried away from that, separated from that. They're down in Babylon now. You got a picture of a people here who've been separated from God. You know what separated them? Sin and idolatry. That's what separated them. That's why they're down there in Babylon, because of sin and idolatry. And brethren, our sin, when we sinned in Adam, we became guilty before God, and a holy God can't have anything to do with a sinner. He said in Isaiah 59:2, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." And that's true of me. And true of you by nature. Our first problem is we're captive of the devil by nature. Our second problem is we've sinned against God. We're guilty, and we've been separated. We can't bridge that gulf. We can't come back in and be one with God of ourselves. We're guilty. We're the offender. Can't do anything about it. And then there's a third thing here that we see is our sin problem. God says later in this chapter, when he brings these folks back from Babylon, he said, "I'm going to give them a heart to know me." That means they don't know him right now. They don't have that heart right now. And that's our third problem. By nature, we have a corrupt heart, and we don't know God. We're religious as we can be by nature. It's nothing for a man to take on religion by nature, but we don't know God by nature. We don't know the true God by nature. And this nature is so corrupt, God's not going to use anything about it. He's just going to make a new one. He's going to create a new spirit in us and a new man in his people. This thing's all new, made of God. You know, he spoke that first creation into existence. He didn't use anything to make the first creation. Well, he's not going to use anything of us to make the new creation. He's going to create it. It's all going to be made from Christ, by Christ, and in Christ, what he's done for his people. So this is our three problems here, brethren. Captives of the devil, we're separated from holy God due to our guilt and sin, and we got a vile, wicked sin nature, and we don't know God. That's what Paul said in Romans 3. He said, verse 10, as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's nobody that understands God by nature. There's none that seeks God. Nobody seeks after God by nature, not the true and living God. They've all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that even doeth good, not one. Now that's, you see here, you got these people summed up right here. All of them that's in this story, that's their condition. And that's a picture of us right here. We all fit into this category right here, sinners. Well, seeing that's the case, if we're going to be different, if God's going to make us to differ from other sinners in this world, then that means God's going to be the one that has to do it. God alone is going to be the one to have to do it. Because you and me and every other sinner in this world can do nothing to change our condition. So I want to show you now how God makes his people to differ. I want to show you. First of all, it's God's electing grace. It's God's electing grace. It begins with God choosing whom he will. Look here in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah. Acknowledge means to be acquainted with, to take care of, to have respect unto. God didn't say he was going to acknowledge those others. But he said of these people that were carried captive down there into Babylon, I'm going to acknowledge them. That's God choosing whom he will. Choosing whom he will to care for and to acknowledge. And passing by whom he will. And that's what he said. He said, Paul said in Ephesians 1 that all this was before the world was made, that God chose his people and blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, and all of it was according to his good pleasure by his grace. By his grace. He chose his people in Christ. And that's what made the difference. He acknowledged his people. And so those are the people that he says he's referring to here as the good figs. The goodness is not of us. It's all of God. He chose his people. He acknowledges his people. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He makes the difference. All right, here's the second thing we see. The difference is made by God's predestinating providential grace. He says here in verse 5, I will acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah. Now watch this. Whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good. You see, when the devil entered the garden, that wasn't by accident. He wasn't tricking God. And that was according to God's purpose. It looked bad. And it was bad. What the outcome ended up, it was a bad thing. But it was to bring about God's good for his people. You know it looked bad when these folks got captured by King Nebuchadnezzar and they were carried captive down into Babylon. I bet you there wasn't one bunch of among them that would have said that was a good thing. God said, I sent them there for their good. I sent them there for their good. And everything that comes to pass in this world is for the good of God's chosen people. Amen. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care if you and I can't see a silver lining in it nowhere. And we think it's just terrible. If we're his, he's doing it for our good. He's doing it for our good. You look at Calvary's cross, you look at the cross, and you say, that's the worst thing ever happened in the world as far as just a display of man's wickedness and man's sinfulness, what we did to God in human flesh. They were just doing what God purposed before to be done. And look at the good God brought out of it. Now, if that's the case with what we see as the, as far as our hands are concerned, the most wicked thing man ever has done in the history of the world, and look at the good God brought out of it. That means whatever God's doing with you and me right now, whatever, however bad it looked, he's bringing good out of it for his people. He said, whom I did foreknow, them I also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of my son. He did it for his son, that his son might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so everything God's working, he's not only working it for your good, he's working it to glorify his son. And that's what he's doing here. He's bringing these people through this route they got to go, down into Babylon, into captivity. But it's going to be to bring them out and to bring them to Christ and show them Christ. That's what it's going to be about. To glorify his son. That's what God's doing. Everything in this world is to glorify God in the person of his son. Everything. It's appeared bad for Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeconiah, all them that was carried down there into Babylon. It looked bad for them. Do you know what God did down there? God raised up Daniel to great honor in Babylon. In Babylon, he raised Daniel up to great honor. You know what he's doing right here in the midst of this Babylon for those that are his? He's raising up his people and giving us the honor of being the trophies of his grace. That's what he's doing. Well, some of them got down there and he gave them nice homes and just riches like you wouldn't believe. You know what he's doing in the midst of this Babylon? He's given his people the unsearchable riches of Christ. Riches like you wouldn't believe. God made them see their sins. He granted them repentance all while they were in Babylon and turned them from idolatry and brought them to the Lord while they were still down there. That's what he's doing for his people right here in the midst of this Babylon right now. So one, we're made to differ by God's electing grace. Two, we're made to differ by God's predestinating grace. And three, it's by Christ's redeeming grace. By God's redeeming grace. Look here. Now we saw that them being separated, them being carried from Canaan, them being carried from the holiest of holies, them being carried from the mercy seat, that's a picture of a sinner being separated from God due to our sins. How are they going to be brought back? If they're brought back, that's a picture of us being brought back into communion with God. How are they going to be brought back? Look at verse 6. God says, I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. There's only one way. You and I are going to be brought from the land of separation back into God's heavenly Canaan. Only one way we're going to be separated from our sin and brought back into communion with the holy God. Only one way we're going to be brought from separation and brought to the holiest of holies. And that's going to be through the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to have to come. He said, they were captives down there of Nebuchadnezzar. Just like we're captives of the devil. Why'd he send his son? As much as the children were flesh and blood, he took part of the same, that he might deliver us from the captivity of the devil. We were all our lives fearful and in bondage because we saw our sin. And we, you know, it's like a treadmill. You see your sin and your conscience bothers you and you try to do something to soothe your conscience. And then the devil just accuses you of that and you go, right back in to try to do something again, and it's just a never-ending cycle of bondage because you fear death. What's going to have to happen to not have that conscience of sin anymore? Christ's going to have to put it away. If there's no sin before God, there's no ammunition for the devil to accuse you with. That's what Christ came and did. He came and took the sin of his people, and he went to the cross, and he paid all the debt we owed to divine justice. So that now God says, he says of, go be going to Romans 6. I want to show you this. He says now, our old man of sin is dead, and we're a new man risen in Christ, holy. Now I want you to look at this. This is one of my favorite scriptures right here. verse 6, look at this. Knowing this, that our old man, it's as if it's crucified with him. No, it is. It is. It's crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That means our body of sin is destroyed in Christ. We're not talking about the sin you and me see in ourselves and acknowledging ourselves. We're talking about our guilt and our sin before God. Our body of sin, that old man that did the sinning, he's been crucified. Look at this. He says here, that we henceforth should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now watch this good news from that. You and me, you remember how Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek? And so what Abraham did, Levi did it. He really did it. He paid tithes in Abraham. He was really in Abraham. Well, when Christ died unto sin once, we really did it. His elect did it. We died unto sin once. When he arose, we really arose. Now look at this emphatic language that Paul uses. It's like he's trying to just make this as clear as he could possibly make it for us. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye, impute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's how God imputes it. He says, now you impute it the same way. Dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof, but yield to God. Listen, brethren, before God, how are we going to be brought back into communion with him? Before God, we were crucified in Christ. That was me hanging on that cross. Just as real as that was me in the garden. That sinned. That was me on that cross that died under the wrath of God. That was me that arose out of that grave and went to the right hand of the Father and sat down. Isn't that what Paul's just said? He says in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above where Christ is seated at God's right hand, for you are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. There's where we are. We really sat down right there. That's how we're brought back into fellowship with God. God said there, he said, I'm going to build them up. The scripture says you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He said there, I'm going to build them up. They won't be pulled down. I'll plant them and they will not be plucked up. Christ said, the Father sent me to do this work that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. That's how we're brought back into this land of communion with God. Christ did it all. Now here's the next thing. God's the Holy Spirit's regenerating grace. This makes us to differ right here. Now look at verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I'm the Lord. Now he said, and we saw our first problem was we were taken captive by the devil. Christ took away his ammunition. Christ took away our sin. He got nothing to accuse us with now. We saw our problem was we're separated by the guilt of our sin. Christ took us out of that land and brought us back into communion with God. But we still got this nature. If we're going to know him and know what he did for us and thank him and praise him, we got to be given a new heart, don't we? So look what he said. Who's going to give it? God says, I will. I will. I will give them a heart to know me, that I'm the Lord. And what will be the result? Anybody going to resist this? Anybody going to fight against this so that they keep it from happening? And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Here's why. They shall return unto me with their whole heart. There's two natures in us. One of them don't believe God, and the other one does. But I'm going to tell you this. God looks on the heart. Isn't that what the scripture says? And he looks on the heart of his child, that heart that he's made, and he says, and they return to me with their whole heart. Their whole heart. And we do. We come to him with our whole heart. That's the only part God acknowledges. I'm starting to learn from these scriptures, God don't acknowledge that he ain't created. Don't you see that? What he's created, that's what he acknowledges. And he says, they're going to come to me with their whole heart. Now, so who makes us to differ, brethren? It's God's electing grace. It's God's predestinating grace. It's God's redeeming grace. It's God's regenerating grace. And you can add his keeping grace, his growing grace, his glorifying grace. He's going to bring the last headstone shouting what? Grace, grace unto it. Beginning to end, grace, grace, grace. So that's what Paul meant when he said, who makes you to differ? What do you have that you didn't receive? He gave it all to us, didn't he? Amen.